Please and open with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Very well-known story here about Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well. Just making sure you're paying attention. I know you're multitaskers out there. Yes, this is Christ's conversation with the woman at the well. And by the way, I need a helper, a real quick helper. Who wants to be a helper? Andrew, help me out here. For the kids who stayed here, I have a little handout. Okay? A little handout for the kids who stayed here. So if you're a child and you want a little handout for today that mom and dad can help you fill in, Mr. Andrew's going to raise your hand real high if you're a child and you want one of these handouts, mom and dad are going to help you fill it in, and he'll come by and give it to you. All right? So we're going to talk about Christ's conversation with the woman at the well. We're just going to look at the first part of that conversation today. And as you will see, it is about water, living water. As Brother Brian would say, it's about water. Give me some water. New York water. And we're going to see that this water is what you want. If you have it, if you already have this living water, rejoice that you have it. And I hope that you're going to want everyone else around you to have it. If you don't have this water, I hope that by the time we're done today, you'll want it so badly that you'll ask for it. John chapter 4, verses 7 to 15 is our text, and the title of the message today is Give Me This Water. John 4, beginning at verse 7, as always, I encourage you to follow along in your own Bibles as we read and study yet another great passage from God's Word. John 4, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me?" A Samaritan woman. Got to talk about what that means. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Now, many would think that John 4 is about evangelism, and there are things you can learn about personal evangelism from this text. I did hear kind of a funny one this week. Sermon on John 4, and he taught that it was about evangelism. And here was his four-part outline. I don't really recommend this. But his four-part outline on John 4 was, number one, break the barrier. Number two, build the bridge. Number three, shoot the arrow, which is aim for conviction. And number four, turn up the heat. So as you go through John 4, maybe you'll see those points. But this text really isn't about evangelism. It's not that there's nothing to learn about evangelism here, but it's not about that. It's really about Christ and what he offers. And the first part of it is all about water. Just as the kids said, water is good, can be refreshing, cool, satisfying. But listen to this definition for water. It doesn't sound that good. An inorganic, transparent, tasteless, odorless, mostly colorless, chemical substance, the molecules of which contain two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen. Does that sound like something you want in your cup? It doesn't sound that good by the definition, but as the children said, water is good. It is important. It is necessary. It is precious. But it's also very limited. Water cannot change your life in the most meaningful ways. Certainly if you live in a country that has not had fresh water, it can change your life that way. But it can't change your marriage, can't change your parenting, it can't change your relationship with all of your neighbors, not really. And more so what I mean by that is if you came to me and said, we really need counseling, we're having a lot of troubles, and if I said to you, well, here's some water, I think you'd question my wisdom. You might not come to me for counseling anymore. So it can't change your life in that way. And it cannot permanently satisfy your thirst. You will thirst again, as Jesus says here. And water can sustain life, but not indefinitely. There comes a time where no amount of water is going to help. But I have good news for you. There is actually a kind of water that does all the things that regular water cannot do. It's real. It's the real thing. And from the text that we just said, the Spirit of God teaches us seven truths. No surprise there. Seven truths about living water. I want you to see them as we go through the text. Seven, let's call them sparkling truths. Seven sparkling truths about living water, in order that if you don't have this water, and you might be here today and you don't have this water, you've never drank it. Have drank. You never drunk it. No, the past tense. You know what I'm saying. If you haven't taken in this water, this living water, I hope and I pray that by the Spirit of God, you're going to want it so badly that you'll ask for it. Or if you do have this water, if you have taken it in, then you're going to want everyone you know to have it, so much so that you'll help them get it. So to that end, seven sparkling truths about living water. You ready? The first one is, living water, and kids, if you've got a handout, here's the first one. Living water is the gift of God. Living water is the gift of God. Verses 7 through 10. Let's look at verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Now let's stop here and recall the setting, which we covered last time. I'm just going to go quickly. Jesus had been in Judea making disciples, lots of them. But then he left. He left Judea. He headed north to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. Verse 4 tells us that. And so verse 5, just working our way up to verse 7, Jesus came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph thousands of years prior to this. And Jacob's well was there, a spring well, a well with bubbling or springing water. Jesus, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. Jesus sat down by this well, worn out and thirsty, no doubt. And it was about the sixth hour, or midday, noon. Day started at 6 a.m. 6 plus 6 is 12. It was noontime, midday. And Jesus had just walked about 20 miles in the heat. So he's tired, he's thirsty, he sits down by Jacob's well, an ancient spring-fed well that had been providing fresh, one might even say living water, for thousands of years. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water from the well, verse 7. Did she come to the well with anyone else? No, she did not. That's strange. Because in that culture, women did not go to the well alone. Women went to the well in groups, kind of like women to the restroom at a wedding reception. It's just the culture. It's what they do. Nobody understands it. Well, no man understands it, but it's what they do. Well, this woman came to the well alone, and she came at noon. What do you think? You think noon was the normal time to go to the well and get water? Absolutely not. Women went in groups to the well, typically in the morning. In that culture, that was the tradition. Which raises the question, why? Why would she come alone? Why would she come at noon? Well, as we learn later, this woman of Samaria had been married and divorced twice? No. Three times? No. Four times? Five times. And now she's living with a man. Even in Samaria, which the Jews looked down at as like Gentile territory, even in Samaria, that was looked down upon. She was an outcast by every measure. What do you think? Did Jesus care about that? Did Jesus care how many times she'd been married and divorced? Did Jesus care how much of an outcast she was? Did Jesus care that she was a Samaritan woman and the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans? Did he care about that? Not one bit. Not at all. He was not like the culture. And here, you know, last week we looked through lessons on the way to the well. Here's one we probably ought to add to the list. Remember last week we talked about Jesus' prudence and his path and his, we'll go with Dan's, his passion. Here we learn about Jesus' perspective. Jesus does not look at people the way the world looks at people, and neither should we. What Jesus knows is this woman is a sinner in need of salvation. And Jesus, sitting by the well, says to the Samaritan woman, end of verse 7, "Give me a drink." That's actually not quite as rude as it sounds. It is actually, "Give me to drink." And I try to think, how would this sound in Russian? Дай мне пить. That's how it sounds in Russian. I don't know how would it mean in Spanish. Give me to drink. Oh, see, that sounds great. Doesn't sound rude at all. Muy bien. See, my Spanish. Pastor Rick, you put me on the spot this morning, and when you asked how my Spanish is, I wanted to say, "Очень хорошо, спасибо," which is Russian. Doesn't work. I'll work on it till fall. Jesus says, "Give me to drink. Give me to drink." You say, well, why didn't he get it himself? He's tired. You say, why didn't the disciples get it for him? They had gone into town. Next verse, right? Verse 8. The disciples had gone into town to buy food. So they're not around. We find out later he has no bucket. He's tired. So he asked the Samaritan woman to help him. Verse 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Why did she find this strange? Because the last line of verse 9, "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Now, it's actually not quite true that they had no dealings. The word there means Jews do not use together with. It's a big Greek word. It means use together with. And it's the idea of sharing utensils, sharing buckets, sharing cups. Amongst Jews, that was not unusual. And really, interestingly, in Russia, it's not unusual for people to share cups and utensils. And, you know, if there's a big bowl of honey at the table, one person dips a spoon in. "Man, that's good honey." And they hand the spoon to you. Yeah, I saw some faces there. It's kind of like when you first do it, it's kind of strange, but hey, you get used to it. Not that big a deal. But Jews did not share utensils with Samaritans. And we ask why. Why is that? Well, today we could say, well, why can't Russians and Ukrainians get along? Why can't Israelis and Palestinians get along? Why can't North Koreans and South Koreans get along? And you know what the answer is? It's complicated. I mean, at the heart of it is sin, but it is complicated, which is maybe why John the Apostle does not elaborate, and I'm not going to elaborate much, but here's a thumbnail sketch. You ready? It's going to be really quick. Back in the days of King Solomon, all the way back then, Israel split into north and south. The capital of northern Israel was Samaria. Samaria. And in 722 BC, Assyria came in and took northern Israel captive and repopulated the area with people of Babylon, Cuthah, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim. 2 Kings 17:24 tells you that fact. So the land was repopulated with pagans. People from other nations that all the Jews knew as pagans. And they were pagans, they were idolaters. And 2 Kings tells us about all the idolatry that they brought with them into Samaria. A few poorer people were left in the land when Assyria had taken the land captive, and those people from Babylon and all these other nations intermarried with those left behind. And for centuries, Jews viewed those who lived in Samaria as idolatrous half-breeds. And that is a quote you'll find in many commentaries, idolatrous half-breeds. Interestingly, if you remember the story, God sent some lions in, and lions were destroying the people, and the pagans wrote back to the Assyrians saying, "Hey, we're being destroyed by lions here." And they said, "We need a priest to go," and a priest went and taught them the ways of God, and they became syncretists. They combined that all together. So they were known as idolatrous half-breed hypocrites because they called themselves worshipers of Jehovah. Kind of reminds me of America. There's a lot of idolatrous, syncretistic, there's just a mess in America. Jesus didn't care about any of that. Nor should we. Jesus is here at the well to reach out to this woman with the good news of living water. Jesus views people according to the truth. And the truth is, if you didn't know this, there's only one race, the human race. You know where that's found in the Bible? Acts 17 says that God made from one blood every nation of man to dwell on the face of the earth. And he even preappointed the times and the boundaries of their dwelling places in order that they might seek the Lord. Jesus viewed people as sinners in need of salvation or as saints in need of sanctification. We should view people the same way. Well, Jesus, notice how Jesus responds to her. She says, well, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me? Verse 10, here's the key. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And here we come to the first sparkling truth about living water, and that is, it is the gift of God. Notice again verse 10, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God. And it's a word for a free gift, something you can't buy, something you can't earn, something you can't work hard enough to deserve. It is the free gift of God. And by the way, because it's a free gift, it is up to the giver to give it. But you can't ask for it, which leads to truth number two. Living water is free for the asking. Living water is free for the asking. It's the gift of God, and it's free for the asking. Again, verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have what? You would have asked. And he would have what? He would have given. He would have given you living water. Ask and ye shall receive. You have not because you ask not. Living water is a gift of God, and it is free for the asking. Third truth, third sparkling truth about living water, in order that you might want it if you don't have it, and in order that if you have it, you'll want others to have it. The third truth is living water is through Jesus Christ and only through him. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The one speaking here is Jesus. And he refers to himself three times, as if to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. She doesn't know this yet. She doesn't know him yet, but she will. Thought of that song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Sweet, refreshing, and so good. And there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the one and only Savior and the one and only source of living water. Does she know that? She doesn't know it yet. She doesn't know who this is. And at this point, to her, this is just some weary Jewish man making hard to understand and hard to believe promises. That's okay. And sometimes, you know, there are lessons to learn about evangelism. Sometimes when you start sharing the gospel with somebody, you are to them just some whatever. Stranger, talking about something they're not familiar with. Why should they listen to you? Don't worry about that. Keep teaching the truth. Well, if you don't know Jesus, by the way, if you don't believe his word, you need this living water. And you need to know who it is who is offering it. Truth number one, it's the gift of God. Living water is the gift of God. Truth number two, living water is free for the asking. Truth number three, living water is through Jesus Christ. And here's truth number four. I like this one maybe the best, one of the best. Living water is for sure what you would ask for and you would receive if only. Notice the confidence of Jesus Christ in verse 10. If you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it is who says to you, give me a drink, then what? You would ask, and there's no doubt about it. Jesus has no doubt whatsoever that if she did know, she would ask. And he says, and he would give. There is absolute 100% confidence based on the meeting of two conditions. So notice the conditions. They're very simple. And they both have to do with knowledge. Jesus says first, if you knew the gift of God. So you only need to know what it is. And now you do know, partly. It's living water. We've got to find out what that is. But if you knew what that was, and second, and if you knew who it is who says to you, give me a drink. But by way of application, if you just knew who it is who's saying these things, if only you knew who Jesus is, and we're going to get to that, then if you had that knowledge, you would certainly ask, and he would certainly give. And that's the commitment of Jesus Christ. He says he would give it, and he's not going to go against that. If a sinner's eyes are opened by the Spirit of God through the preaching of the gospel, if they're open to see what is the gift of God and to see who Jesus is, and how do we get them there? Through prayer and proclaiming of the truth. But if a sinner's eyes are opened by the Spirit of God through the preaching of the gospel to see what the gift of God is and to see who Jesus is, then for sure they will ask and they will receive this living water. Her eyes aren't opened yet, but she's getting there. Verses 11 and 12. The woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Now, what is she doing? She's asking questions. Is that a good thing? Well, that's a very good thing. Even if someone is asking questions that make it sound like what you're saying is ridiculous, that's a good thing. And you've heard those, right? Oh, so you're just saying what? I just get forgiven for all my sins? Right? Sometimes, oh, you're just saying that your book is better than everybody else's book? Don't be afraid of those questions. That's a good thing. The door is open once they start ridiculing you by their questions. 1 Peter 3:15 teaches that. That's what I'm going to teach in Honduras, by the way. I hope that others might sign up to go, because even though, as Pastor Rick said, eight have signed up, that doesn't mean eight are going to follow through. And when I get there, I'm going to teach apologetics. And one of the lessons of apologetics is once people start ridiculing and asking questions, they have just flung the door wide open. Don't take that as a shutdown. Jesus certainly doesn't. She is basically ridiculing him. Verse 12, are you greater than Jacob? What's she thinking? That he's not greater than Jacob? And what is she thinking about this water? She says, you don't have a bucket, the well's deep. What is she thinking? She is thinking that this living water is water, which leads us to truth number five. Living water is not water, but it's no less real. Living water is not water, but it is no less real. In fact, truth number six, see, we're booking right through. Truth number six, living water is way better than water. It satisfies forever. It becomes a spring of water for other people. And it keeps springing up all the way into eternal life. Look what Jesus says, verse 13. And we're on truth number six, living water is way better than water. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Now let's stop there. How many of you, quick show of hands, get you involved here. How many of you have ever drank water? That's a lot of people. I don't know if I caught everybody there. How many of you ever drank water? Let me see again. Okay, good. I think I see everybody's hand. How many of you think you will never drink water again? Well, good. Well, why? Because the water you drank this morning is not going to quench your thirst permanently. This water will. Jesus promises it. Look what he says. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but, verse 14, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, notice whoever, free for the asking to anyone who asks. Doesn't matter who you are or where you're from or what your past is or how many sins you've committed or how much you've hated God or how much you have a hard time believing or thinking of yourself ever becoming a Christian. If only you'll drink. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. I'm going to ask for another show of hands from my brothers and sisters in Christ. How many of you have eternal life? Now put your hands down. And the same people, how many of you think you're going to go searching for something better than Jesus Christ? Well, good. You never will. If you have Christ in your life, you are never going to go searching for anything better. Now, people that get involved in other religions, they keep searching all the time. You know, they may be so blinded that they don't, but I've talked to a lot of people involved in other religions. They keep searching. They are not satisfied. Not so, says Christ, for those who receive the living water. He says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, as in your most important thirst will be satisfied forever. And then he says, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. In other words, listen closely. This water that Jesus gives, if you drink it, if you have it, it will become inside of you a spring that feeds other people. It will keep on springing up. It will keep living, keep working, keep serving, all the way into or until you enter eternal life. So truth number 5 is living water is not regular water, but truth number 6 is living water is way better than regular water. This water will change your life forever from the inside out, which raises the question, what is this living water? What is this water? Well, Jesus has already told us. Go back to verse 10. Verse 10, take a look. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you, now it literally says, water of life. Water of life. I know you don't care about the Greek grammar, but this is called an appositional genitive. Water that is life. He's promising to give life. Truth number 7. Living water is life. New, abundant, eternal life. Exactly what the Samaritan woman desperately needed. What is the gift of God, free for the asking, through Jesus Christ our Lord? Listen to this. Very familiar verse. You can complete it with me if you know it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No better commentary on John 4 than Romans 6:23. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Truth number 7, living water is new, abundant, eternal life. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The cross of Christ is what makes eternal life possible. It's what makes eternal life free for the asking. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's the love of God that makes this living water free for the asking to anyone who asks. John 10:28, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I have come in order that they may have life, and may have it more abundantly. John 10:28 and 10:10. The whole purpose in Jesus Christ coming to earth was to give this living water to everyone who would ever ask for it. And notice, eternal security is here when Jesus says, it will become in him a spring of water that keeps on springing up all the way into everlasting life. That means once you drink this water, you'll never lose it. You'll never forfeit it. It will never leave you. Instead, eternal life will become inside of you something that changes your life and changes the life of those around you. This is good water, beloved. And this is the promise that God has promised to us, namely eternal life. 1 John 2:25. What does the woman say? Notice her words. I love these words. John 4, verse 15. Then the woman said to him, Sir, it's literally, Lord, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to drink. Did she ask for the water? Yes, she did. Did she get the water? Yes, she did. By the end of this conversation, as we'll see as we keep studying it, she comes to know what is this gift of God, and she comes to know who it is who said to her, give me a drink. She came to know that Jesus is the Messiah. That means he is the Christ. That means he is the anointed one of the God and creator of heaven to give you the gift of eternal life, to wipe away all of your sins forever, to change your heart, to remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Which just leaves a question. Do you have eternal life? Have you partaken of this living water? If you have not, if you're here today, understand, living water is free for the asking. It's free for the asking. That means today, before you leave this place, you could just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, give me this water. And he'll give it. He'll change your life forever. You'll go to heaven when you die instead of hell. Do you know this gift of God? Do you know who it is who says this? If you're here today and you do not have eternal life, or if you're not sure, today is the day. Today is the day for you to humble yourself before God and say, God, give me this water. And he'll know what you mean. And he will give it to you. If you're here today and you have eternal life, you've had this water that Jesus gives, how many people do you know who don't have it? You have neighbors, friends, relatives, family members, loved ones. You see what this living water is? We've got to get the water out. We need to pray for and look for and go after opportunities to tell others about Jesus Christ. I don't think the Spirit of God here is using this as a pattern or as a method for evangelism. Instead, the Spirit of God is giving us the message for evangelism. That's what you should get out of this and say, I need to go tell them about living water. That's a great starting point, right? Hey, I got to talk to you about some water. The other day I was riding dirt bikes with my atheist neighbor, whom I am evangelizing. And I said, you know, Joe, I gotta tell you, I've been studying living water in the Bible. And I got to tell you, listen, you need eternal life. I know you don't believe in God, but you need eternal life. And I've invited him to go on a vacation ride with me in a couple of weeks. I said, listen, you need to come along, but I will tell you, my goal is that you'll come and listen to what we have to tell you about eternal life. And he said, that doesn't scare me. You know what? That is huge progress. That is huge progress, because up until lately, he does not want to talk to me about this at all. So pray for Joe, and let's pray together. Father God, thank you. Thank you for these words of Christ. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. And Father, I pray for everyone who's here today, if there's anyone who doesn't have eternal life, who doesn't have this living water, who doesn't have Christ in his life or her life, may today be the day that they would ask and receive this gift. Father, we who have received it, we give you praise and thanks. Thank you for changing our lives. Help us to be faithful to get the water to those who lack it. In Christ's name, amen.